Into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, eating people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Hey, help support the podcast. Head on over to fastcustomshirts.com. Pick up a Boy Gob shirt or a DWN shirt, but pick up the Boy Gob shirt because it's new. And speaking of Fast Custom Shirts, head on over to Fast Custom Shirt. Hundreds and hundreds of t-shirt designs featuring horror, sci-fi, exploitation, and yes, custom work. If you need custom shirts, hit up Fast Custom Shirts. And then head on over to dwnproductions.net. Masks, bust, props. Also, custom work. If you need custom masks, bust, props, hit me up and maybe I could do that for you. Joe, welcome to another exciting episode of Boy Gob. How was your week, my friend?
Well, let me tell you, I want to thank everybody for joining us, even though this won't appear until tomorrow, but as of right now, it is still Easter Sunday. And leading up into Easter Sunday, yeah, my usual thing, you know, went to work, worked, and Friday, getting the boy all set up, you know, to mow the yard before I take off to work, you know, because I retired from mowing the yard because, you know, there's a teenage boy of age that should be doing that instead of me. But
Wish you had a big fucking yard so you can drink some beers and ride a riding lawnmower, because that shit is awesome. But 100%, if you just got a little yard that could be push mowed, have the kid do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, our lawnmower has seen better days, you know, and before I came around, Lisa had repaired some stuff on it. I've repaired some stuff on it, but it got to the point where it was beyond repair. So had to go up and buy a new lawnmower, Tom. So head on over.
Spent like $5,000 on one of those gimmicks that you got to turn like that. It can go fucking 360. Hey, that real Mexican shit.
And those things look like they haul ass too. No, just a standard regular push mower, you know, the old standard brand, you know, still the whole, you know, not one of these electric ones that you can't work on, you know, like a Ryobi. You know, you have to take it to be serviced, you know, by a licensed Ryobi technician, you know. Yeah, fuck all that. I need something that I'm able to fix when things break down. But hopefully that won't happen for a while because the thing's brand new. But even the most basic ones are not cheap, Tom. They are not cheap pieces of machinery. So that wasn't cool.
You know? Did you get one of those self-propelling ones at least?
Fuck no.
No, okay.
I'm not doing
it. Well, yeah, you're not doing it. That's right. Fuck them, I guess.
Right, yeah. Hell no, it's not a push button start either, you know? It's the old...
You gotta prime it, hit that little nipple a few times.
So, no, this one doesn't have that. So, yeah, so you don't have to fuck with that thing. Because I think that was the last thing that was going out on theirs. I think there was a tear in the primer deal. And you can replace those, but it's just like, nah, this thing's too old. It's like me, you know, time to fucking throw it out in the garbage, you know? And I was feeling like that lawnmower today. You know, I thought it was going to be a good day. Got up, got the smoker going, was doing some chicken. And towards the end of it, I start feeling not too good, Tom. I think I've been telling you, I've been getting these headaches where it seems like somebody's sticking a big old fucking 9-inch nail in my eye socket, you know. And yeah, so I've become the old man that gets migraines now. You know, I'm told that's what it is because we went to Lisa's mom's and I'm just a fucking stick in the mud, just sitting there, you know, not really talking, just feeling like shit, just kind of nodding, you know, to everything. You know, just short answers on everything. And, you know, I felt real bad about it, you know, like, fuck, man, I'm being a prick, but I can't fucking function. You know, I can't talk, you know. And I was feeling nauseous, too. And I don't want to say that, you know, because she prepared this dinner.
Eating this white shit?
Yeah.
Fucking this.
Yeah, so I don't know if I talked to you about that. I talked to several people about this, that white people seem to think ham is a main course, especially for Easter. It's like, that's not a main course. That's what you make sandwiches out of. Or you have a little bit on the side, you know. That's why I made chicken. To take some chicken when, of course, I'm feeling nauseous and couldn't enjoy anything I was eating. It all sucked. And I'm still feeling like shit. But to top off Easter Sunday, came home and we had ants. We got fucking ants in the kitchen. And had to run out to the old Walmart supermarket center and get some old borax and make the old little borax cotton balls and throw them all around and shit. And, you know, it's fucked because that attracts them, you know. So I'm going to have more ants before they take all that shit back to the nest or hive or whatever you call ants, you know, where they live. And it does its business. So I'm just here looking at the counters and shit, looking, you know. Every place that I put these little cotton balls, you know, are they gone to them yet? Okay, they're going to this one. It's like, now, but did I do the mixture right? You know, is it going to kill them or are they actually going to like it, you know, and just eat the fuck out of it? I don't know. I'll let you know next week as my ant adventures continue. Yeah.
It's like A-N-T-S. You don't have a bunch of cousins' moms coming over, no. Right?
Not at all. I didn't find a golden egg today either.
Well, it's better than having termites, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
It's good, because I got termites. Like, there was this fucking woodpecker that's been pecking on this tree for months.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just a couple weeks ago. No, this was probably... a month, 2 months ago, I was just like, man, I should really look in to see if a woodpecker pecking at a tree will fuck it up. So I did. And it's like, no, it won't go that far into there. You might lose some bark, but, you know, you'll be all right. They don't go far enough to do that damage. So it's all right. So I see it. I walk every morning the backyard a few laps and it just stuck out. I was just like, I don't know. Fucking woodpecker hasn't been here for a little bit now. So we got the tree dudes over here. He says, oh, terminitas. Mm. And I said, ay, chihuahua.
Oh, fucking terminita 2000.
Yeah, so we'll get that down this week. And unfortunately, since it's filled with fucking termites, I'm not going to leave it around a yard so I can burn later. So no bonfires. But yeah, today I just fucking whipped up. I wish I could. I think it's Taurus something. Man, I wish I could remember the termicide I use because it's good shit. Like, we had one of my stepdad's friends come check something else right after he died. And I guess he felt sorry for us because, you know, it was right after he died and all.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, this is the stuff I use. Just get this, and this is the best shit you'll ever need. So I wish I could remember what the fuck that was so I could tell all you fine people out there listening. But it works on fire ants and shit. You just spray those cocksuckers in a Hudson sprayer and shit. And good, man. Because I used to set them fucking... I used to dump gasoline on anthills and set those motherfuckers on fire like a fucking asshole.
You don't even set it on fire. The fucking gasoline will do it by itself, you know?
Yeah, where's the fun in that?
That's true.
If you pour enough in there and you step on it, you'll see fucking flames shoot out of another anthill. It's like you're the devil, Joe. You get a little power. But yeah, so that sucks. So I sprayed the fuck out of everything. Now I'm thinking, is that what was eating the shop? But, you know, I didn't see any trails when I took this shit off. And, you know, it was just fucking leakage because it was all under the windows and shit. But yeah, sprayed that. Like you were saying, the ham shit, I don't get. Like for years, dude, I've been struggling about eating pork. Like, my whole life, I can never just eat a hunk of pork. Ribs, that's like the fucking farthest I can go. But then you grow up and realize you're eating actual ribs. And they always talk about, like, how smart pigs are and shit. But, man, Italian sausage and bacon on a cheeseburger, that shit is fucking hot, dude. A fucking chicken club sandwich, like a fucking nice chicken breast. With some ranch, you put some Swiss on there, some bacon, your lettuce, tomato, pickle. That shit is fucking raw, but you're just like, God damn, I don't want to eat this almost a dog. What the fuck am I, Chinese? Jesus Christ. So
the bacon makes it, man. The bacon, you know.
I know, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you look at a chicken and be like, yeah, fuck you, you stupid cocksucker. I'll eat the fuck out of you.
Yeah, but. Cow, you know, yeah, beef ribs, that's the way to go.
Yeah. God damn, man, it sucks, but I'm trying, I'm doing my damnedest. Like, I'll go 3 days and then forget about it and eat 18 fucking bacon cheeseburgers.
So you're ham today, though.
Yeah. But yeah, the ham shit, I don't get. Fucking, I don't know where that came from. I thought it said something in the Bible that I never read about not eating, like, fucking animals with hooves and shit.
Oh, it definitely does.
I don't know. It says a lot of shit.
Yeah. Somebody told me you do it just to stick it to the Jews. Like, whoa! It's like, because they don't really believe in Jesus as the Savior. It's like, well, neither do I, but, you know. I don't know.
Well, the whole reason that the fucking Jews don't eat pork and shit is because back in the day, like back in the day, they didn't have electricity, so they couldn't run refrigerators, you see. So their pork would get all fucked up and they get trigonosis and shit.
Yeah. That's
so,
salt and curing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was before...
And Thomas
bread that cures everything.
Back quick this time. All right.
Oh no, it cut out again. God damn it.
Very briefly. Yeah, that's Easter. Not my favorite of holidays, because what are these pricks at the bank doing closed tomorrow? What's that shit all about, you know?
Oh yeah, the post office, and they started that a couple years ago. Because, you know, they didn't get the day off. I mean, they did.
Right. Sunday. Sunday fucking thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, Good Friday, I can't remember if it was off or not, but I can't remember. I was working. This is like the first time in a while that I'm looking at a sculpture and doing it. I'm just like, yeah, this is all right. You know, I only have one decent picture of the thing I'm sculpting. But hey, maybe it'll work out. So we'll see. If not, you know, I could paint it different ways, hopefully sell it to people in Trans World and be a rube and plunk down $500 again. Dude, I keep thinking about how that $500 fucked me. I'm so goddamn broke right now. And I keep thinking the fucking worst part is these fucking oh, God damn it, dude. A week after you get back from Trans World, everyone sent an email. Hey, we're still running the discounted price. You motherfucker, you said it was for people who just paid at the show. God, like, that's bullshit for real. If you pull some shit like that, it's just like, all right, you know, maybe they can't be trusted. Like, that's not a joke. That's real fucking shit. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
you could have bought a lawnmower for that kind of money.
You could have.
Real basic.
Or I could have fucking paid my bills this coming up month because it's April in a couple minutes.
Luckily, the banks are closed tomorrow, so nothing's going to go through till Tuesday, you see.
Fuck yeah. Oh, it's all right. We got credit cards.
We do.
But speaking of not fucking people around and saying the cutoffs, by the time you hear this, you're going to go to, excuse the fuck out of me, dwnproductions.net. You're going to try and get a basketball jersey and it's going to say sold out. So you're not going to be able to get shit. However, we got some fucking supporters here who signed up for another season of Team Boy Cob Joe. And I personally would just like to give a shout out for Mike DeMick, always fucking coming through. If there's anything fucking Boy Cob, he always gets it. And I appreciate that shit for sure. It's because of fucking you we're able to pay for the month of April. Thank you.
Red bought one of each of those shirts, so thank you, sir.
Now I got, speaking of old Red, gotta shout the fuck out to him for buying a jersey and joining Team Boy God. Red, it's because of fucking you that we're going to be able to make it through the month of May. So thank you, Red.
We got to get through April first.
Well, I'm just saying it'll be paid for.
Yeah.
And then good old JR, who can forget the Harvester, always coming through. Thank you. Because of you, you helped pay for the boygob.com/podbeam domain renewal that will be coming due in May. So thank you. And George of the Adams family, I always see you posting shit wearing your mask, and I'm glad you dig it. But I'm even more glad that you signed the fuck up for Team Boy Cob, because you helped pay for the domain registration and the fucking Podbeam shit, so it'll be up for another year. How do we do the show for another year? I don't know, but it'll be up. So thank you. And last but not least, who the fuck can forget about the one, the only, I call him Mr. December. I don't know what you call him, Joe. Maybe you call him Kyle Driver. Kyle, as always, thank you. Because of you, once again, you're in the domain/podbeam category, but it doesn't fucking matter because it helps. And because of you all, we will keep doing this for at least 2 more months so you don't look silly when I say next week, it's our last show. and you haven't even got your jerseys yet. So thank you for helping keep the lights on just a little longer. And everybody else listening, go fuck yourself. No, I'm kidding. You don't have to fucking buy shit.
The lights online before I did, because I was just going to succumb to that kind of corny-ass bullshit, but he beat me to it, so.
But yeah, no, it's definitely fucking appreciated. Like we say time and time again, this really is just a way for us to promote our shit. So, I mean, the fact that fucking you guys would spend fucking, I think it was close to $70 with shipping on a basketball jersey with our shit on it, like, that's fucking awesome to know there's people out there that hardcore about whatever the fuck this is. That's kind of cool. So, I appreciate it, and thank you. I am always down with Team Boy God, motherfuckers. So, always and forever.
And for those of you that are unaware, you can go to the YouTube channel and see some bonus Boy Gob as Tom made a trip to the old movie theater this week and watched a little Godzilla.
Oh, shit. Is that the Biollante? I
think it is, yeah.
Hell yeah. That one's dope. Is that a figure or what? Oh, it's a puzzle?
The jigsaw.
That's lame. You should just not open that shit and put it in a box, because in like 10 years that shit will be $200, dude. Godzilla, literally Godzilla shit is the only shit that I've seen that actually goes up in value. All your comic books, baseball cards, whatever fucking goofy shit, really Godzilla shit, it's crazy shit. But that's because Godzilla's fucking dope. Godzilla X Kong? Not so much. It's dumb as fuck. Definitely a kid's movie. I know it's fucking, oh, Godzilla Kong, it's supposed to be dumb. You're saying? Nah, this shit. This fucking shit, dude. I mean, it's just kind of fucking lame. Like, all the colors were cool. If you were eating some mushrooms, like, that shit would probably be fucking pretty raw. But, just the story and everything. You got the little fucking monkey, and that's as dumb as you'd think. It's just a little thing for the kids. And it's like this bullshit where you're the evil character is just the reverse of the main character. That shit always fucking sucks. And these apes just look like a bunch of fucking crackheads and shit. Their hair's falling out. Their teeth are chipped and shit. The fucking dude, the movie starts out with, oh, Kong has a fucked up tooth. So he's going to go to Earth and get his fucking tooth fixed, and they just happen to know how to extract a tooth, and they just happen to make this giant replacement fucking monkey tooth that fits in his fucking head perfectly. It's the dumbest goddamn shit show. And I thought I liked fucking Godzilla vs. Kong, the last one. Yeah. I went back to look what I said about it. I think that was before, like, I was actually writing reviews. And I said something like, oh, well, that was a movie. So, yeah, I guess it sucks dick, too. MonsterVerse sucks.
Things that was like over 2 hours?
No, this one was under. I think it was just under.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't watch it.
Oh, I have no intention of watching it. Yeah, I watched the only one I watched is the one where Godzilla's barely in it. You know, and like he winks at the camera at the end.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
Where it's fucking Kurt Russell's kid or whatever.
Yeah, and I had no interest in any of it after that. So it's.
Yeah. I mean, they learned from that and tried to make them fun and shit. Like Skull Island's all right. Not the best. It's okay. King of the Monsters has some cool shit in it, but.
I did see Skull Island. It was okay. There was some bits that were all right, but. There was some that wasn't. Yeah. I don't remember it all that well. So that just tells you what it's all about, you know? forgettable. Yeah.
So, I mean, some people are fucking loving it, but those are the people who are just like, oh, yeah, shovel it into my ass.
Fandom. Just that's a good.
We probably did that before, but fuck them hoes. We can do it again. Yeah. But again, like what you like. It's fucking you.
Yeah. Don't listen to these pricks.
Just head on over to DWMProductions.net. Tee-hee. Oh, yeah. We shouted out the fucking people who definitely needed to be shouted out. I wanted to make sure I got that in. I'm trying to see if there's any other kind of housekeeping things to get into, but I don't think so unless you have something.
No, nothing else that I can think of. I already did my bitching and my old man shit, so.
All right, Joe, I watched a comedy special this past week. Dave Attell's back with a new comedy special, Hot Cross Buns. You know who Dave Attell is?
The guy that would just walk around the streets and, you know, talk to different businesses and peoples and shit.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of like a travel show before there was a travel show, but it was like kind of based around like colleges and drinking.
Yeah.
Or at least from what I remember. I always liked him. I wouldn't say he's in my favorite. Maybe if we were doing a top 20, he'd probably make it. He had a good line when Patrice O'Neill died and Opie and Anthony was doing like a tribute for him the day after he died, and something was going on, like there was a ruckus in the room or they were trying to raise money or something, and Dave Attell's just like, hey, settle down, we got a purple suit and a gigantic coffin to buy. So that was fucking funny as shit. So like all the stuff he's done, some flippant comment on a radio show is the thing I remember him by. But, it's weird. Like, I watch stand-up specials often. Like, I watch two, I think. Fucking, there's this podcast, Are You Garbage? They came out with specials each, and this dude, Dan Soder, he came out with one, and they're not hours anymore. They're just like, 40 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. Like, they're supposed to be specials, but if it's just that, it's not really special.
Right.
I mean, I used to be all about stand-up comedy and love that shit and really into it. But then, you know, you just hear all these people talking about it, and they get so deep into their craft. It's just like, dude, you're taking a year or two to memorize the same fucking shit. And, you know, make it just a little better. And I mean, if you can't come up with funny shit that you're fucking saying the same thing every night and working on it, then maybe you're, I don't know. It doesn't seem as hard or as deep as some of these people make it. Because like I said, you're saying the same shit for a year, trying to refine it and make it work. Like, if you can't make it work, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. But old Dave still got it, Joe. Like, it's a lot of jokes. It's not really stories. It's just like joke. So that's great. He has a couple Cracker Barrel jokes that I laughed at, and then some Boy Scout jokes that I laughed at. And then it's called Hot Cross Buns, so obviously you know that's a recorder song. So he starts playing the recorder and shit. It's like, oh yeah, during the pandemic, I fucking learned how to play the recorder again.
Hey, nobody, you know, stuck with it, you know?
So it was funny. I would definitely recommend it. It's not something you have to sit down and watch like I did. It's brightly lit, which is fucking not the greatest for comedy, especially like New York comedy. You want it kind of dimly lit and shit. But yeah, just put it on in the background while you're doing whatever the fuck it is you're doing, screening shirts or I don't know, doing something with a sponge and a cup and a rubber glove and just have it playing in the background. You got to take care of something there, Joe. Or are you looking at ants?
I keep on looking and hearing a noise. I'm expecting like a fucking giant sized ant, like the size of a dog, to come running up on me. You know, a big ass ant, Tom. Yeah, he's got him somewhere. Got him in there.
That's what I was looking for. It's a little dusty now, covered in cobwebs and spider webs and shit, but it's there. But yeah, check it out. It's on Netflix or wherever you watch stuff online.
Yeah. I watched a movie called Wrath of Silence, Tom, and it's called this because the main character is a mute, meaning that he can't talk. No, not deaf, though. Usually those two go hand in hand. No, it's a deaf mute. No, this guy's just a mute. This is a Chinese movie. And this guy, also referring to the title, he's an angry guy. You know, he's got a short fuse, as they would say. You know, doesn't take much to get him angry, and he starts fighting. Well, one day he's off working in the mines. They got a lot of mines over there in China, you know, and it's a big, like, if you can get this land, you can mine it. You see, you strip mine the land and make all this money off of it and just fucking deplete it and make, you know, unsafe working conditions. Well, anyway, that's what this dude does. And while he's working, his son is taking care of the family sheep. You know, he's sheep. You know? And then the kid goes missing. So this guy comes back home and he goes, you know, asking everybody what the fuck's going on. And it intersects with this other guy's story. And this guy's girl has gone missing, but he knows who took the girl. It's this mob boss mine owner that he's been working for, you know. And I don't know. He's got evidence against the mob boss. It's kind of confusing because they're speaking Chinese. And, you know.
How did that sound?
I wasn't really hitting the subtitles a whole lot. Well, when the mute would talk, it didn't sound like anything, Tom. He would write these crazy symbols for people, and I don't understand what that says, you know. Just like some circles, a hoop, and a bunch of lines.
But when the mob boss talked, how did he sound?
It was funny, too, because the guy, he's wearing, like extensions. Like, he's got, like, a little perm going. And I guess, you know, that's... Maybe in China, he would think that's cool or something. I don't know. You know, like Prince. Like Prince hair. Or, like, some one of these doo-wop guys, you know, with the curly cues and shit. It was pretty strange. This movie's okay. It doesn't really fucking give you the answer about the little boy, though. You know he's dead because they do a little trickery where the boy comes out, you know, and he's walking out of a cave with the little girl, but then just the little girl is there, and he was a fucking ghost. So there's a bit of the supernatural in this, but that's really not the crux of this movie. It's just this guy, like, hey man, quit being so angry. Nothing's going to get solved if you're so angry. And nothing does. Nothing gets solved, Tom. It's, fuck it. Don't watch it. Wrath is like, nah.
And how did this mob boss sound again?
I don't know how Chinese sound. I was, you know, I don't know. I was watching it real late at night, Tom. I was pretty tired. I'm getting these migraines, you see. Hard for me to focus on anything. I don't know. I don't recommend migraines, or maybe not this movie. You know, if you're not if you're somebody that needs all the answers, don't watch this.
Joe, at the time of this recording, it is Easter and all.
It is.
So you know, around the holidays, if there's a dog who saved, insert holiday here, I'll try and watch that and thankfully, there was a dog who saved Easter.
This is every goddamn holiday. And this, you know, if we're going to give thanks to anybody, it's this dog.
And what's the dog's name, Joe?
Max?
That's right. It's Zeus.
Zeus. There you go.
And he's owned by the Bannisters, and it's usually fucking Mario Lopez or what's the other guy? Whoa, what's that guy? Lawrence something? What?
Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence, yes. So they're usually switching off in this in the series doing the voice of the dog. Well, it's not. I mean, they're doing the voice of the dog, but these movies are lazy as shit. It's one of these talking dog movies where they shoot it so fast and so lazily, they don't even worry about the animals talking. They just fucking voice shit over with the animals on screen looking at each other and shit. So Mario Lopez does it in this movie because Joey Lawrence is actually in the movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what I said. And then I put that stupid fucking jean hat on. Blossom, you bitch. That's why they kicked you off of Jeopardy, because of those stupid fucking hats. So the Bannisters are going on a cruise. So it starts with old Zeus packing his suitcase, ready to go on a cruise. He's so excited. And in my head, I was like, dude, no way let this dog on a cruise. If I let my dog on a cruise, I'd be so scared it's going to jump off the fucking boat, and that's a wrap. And luckily, they bring the dog to a newly opened dog daycare in this mansion run by this one young lady. I guess her grandma just died and left her this house. She said, fuck it. I'm going to let dog shit everywhere. So she opens up a dog daycare. And then the Bannisters just leave them there. What's Kevin James' brother? Like, he's the main dude in this series. He plays the dad. But they're just at the beginning and end and middle of the movie just saying, hey, we're dropping our dog off. Hey, we're picking the dog up. And it's just the wife. They didn't want to pay him, I guess, just for this little ass thing. So Superman and Joey Diaz, their back is the criminals. And Joey Diaz, he's farting like normal, and I laughed like usual.
Yeah, that's and, a standard in these movies. Yeah,
it sure is.
Yeah.
And they have him on one scene dressed up like an Easter bunny. And in another scene, he's dressed up like a Borat, like within a big pompadour and a mustache and sunglasses and shit. I mean, it's a kid's movie, but knowing like who the fuck Joey Diaz is, seeing him do this fucking goofy shit, it's fucking hilarious, dog. So his and Superman's chemistry is great. That's like the only reason to watch these fucking movies, because they actually do have good on-screen chemistry. But for some reason, they bring a third criminal into this, and this dude just sucks a fucking dick. He was in Starship Troopers. I forget who the fuck he was in it, because that movie's kind of a blur. Hey, maybe sometime we'll watch the Starship Troopers movies.
Maybe.
But maybe. But or maybe he's not in it and I'm thinking of somebody else. But yeah, he fucking sucks. There's a competing dog, not competing, but the only fucking dog daycare in town. And this place is run like a fucking pound and shit, while the other place was nice. And the fucking this lady was running out of her house. There's like a giant pool in the backyard without a gate around it. And I'm just like, dude, you're going to have drowned dogs all over if you're just letting them run around the backyard unsupervised and shit. So the competing company hires fucking Joey Diaz, Superman, and this third fucking idiot to pretend like they're inspectors, go get intel on the house so she can fucking get them shut down or whatever. And they said, sure, we're going to do that anyways, because we were going to rob this house because we figure, hey, an old lady has it. There must be pearls and shit in there. So, yeah, it's a formulaic. They fucking find out Zeus is there and they say, oh, fuck, not Zeus again. Not this fucking dog. How does this shit keep happening? And they fucking get arrested at the end. And it's another one. This was like straight to DVD, but it was shot for commercials. So like before and after every commercial break, they just cut to like a blank white thing with two chicks, like two baby chicks. And they're doing like Crypt Keeper Easter puns and shit. Fucking sucks dick.
Okay. Easter puns.
Oh, happy Easter. Oh, suck a dick, you fuck. But yeah, I mean, if you're a Joey Diaz fan, these things are funny to fucking watch. Just like I said, knowing who the fuck he is. And him and Dean Cain, they do have on-screen chemistry and shit. But I mean, I can't really say go out and fucking watch it. It's a fucking very low budget, very lazily made kids movie. So the Halloween one's all right, though. If you're fucking doing like triple Halloween feature, Halloween time or something, or you're doing the 31 days of fucking Europe, that kind of person, then yeah, throw that shit into the rotation. But the other ones, not unless you're like fucking, how'd they let him on set? Oh, yeah, it was a different time. He never touched any fucking kids, Joe.
He's just got a sense of humor, you see. That's,
yeah. And more people have been saying that after I said that shit, so I understand it comes off fucked up if you haven't seen the thing. Dude, the day after we did that, I picked Lori up from work, and she was like, I listened to the podcast. I agree with Joe. I'm just like, yeah, it's because neither of you seen this shit.
You said don't watch it. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good.
All right, then.
But I'm saying, why would I lie about some shit like that? If he's a pedophile, fuck him.
Well, Tom, it was back to the world of old Coffin Joe for me. Yeah, I took a little break. The past couple hadn't been all that great, you know. But this one, The End of Man, continues that tradition of not being great. This is a... I don't know. He's not Coffin Joe. This is, again, not a Coffin Joe movie. He's playing this messianic character, you know, a Jesus archetype. This guy's walking through the streets. He's naked and people are like, hey, what's up with this guy? But he's all happy, you know, just walking down the streets. And then he helps somebody out and people, oh, look what he did. Oh, and then he helps this lady out. This movie's very forgettable, so I don't remember what he did. I don't know. Got the people in the hospital to pay attention to her sick kid. So she gives him some clothes. Now he's able to walk around, and people start following him, Tom. You know, it's like, hey, this guy, he's rejecting everything that society is, and he's doing things like the way we should treat people, you know. And, you know, he's saying that this government is stupid. So the government wants to exploit him. You know, they want to put him on a TV show. And I forget what he did, but it wasn't what they expected. You know, it sucked, man. This is like, these movies like this, they're fucking weird, where they're trying to prove a point by using the archetype of Jesus. You know, like Tommy, the musical Tommy, about that deaf, dumb, blind kid that plays the mean pinball. That's like one of these movies.
What about that Japanese girl, Tommy?
Yeah, I don't know the Japanese.
I thought you were cultured. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a shitload of movies like this, but I can't think of any right now. None of them come to mind, but there's a lot. And, yeah, I don't know. This was not good. And then I flipped through and like, well, let's see what kind of extra features they are. They're on here. One of them said female politics in the world of Coffin Joe.
So I got a puke.
I didn't watch that at all. In fact, I think I took out the disc, and this was the replacement disc that he sent me, you know, and I was thinking I should send them this back. You know, fucking, yeah. Not very with a lot of these movies because they're not Coffin Joe movies. It's just the fucking dude. And I guess he got, I don't know, enough popularity that he could do whatever the fuck he wanted. And he's here trying to make hippie statements. And I don't give a shit about that. You know, hippies are the worst. Fuck them.
How many are left?
Shit, I don't even know. Let me see. Oh, fuck. End of Man. Okay. When the Gods Fall Asleep is next. The Strange Hostel of Naked Pleasures is after that. Hellish. You'll love that one. Hallucinations of a Deranged Mind. I can tell you I've already watched that one. That's probably the same thing as The Strange World of Coffin Joe, which was just a bunch of fucking, you know, let's get all weird and, you know, show crazy shit. Because, you know, it's hallucinations. We can do whatever the fuck we want to. And we'll get to that in a little bit. The Embodiment of Evil. I think
it's... Oh, so you still got a few more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I mean, the box set still has time to redeem himself, because if I'm remembering, you liked one, like you legit liked one of the movies, and you kind of liked another one of them, and the rest have been just bullshit.
Yeah, well, I like the three that are about Coffin Joe. The yeah. Yeah, go back and listen to the review some. And you folks... Joe. And check out the Coffin Joe playlist and see what I've said so far.
Yeah. You know, I'm saying fuck Arrow video box sets because I've bought two. And, you know, I like Gamera still. But after rewatching those movies. And then fucking Shawscope Volume 2 can just go jump in a fucking lake for real. And then after hearing this shit, don't buy Arrow box sets. Mm-mm. Probably buy Severin box sets, though.
Attack of the Clones, you can pre-order now.
I won't, but you could.
Yeah, you could. I mean, I won't, but I will be going to see it in the middle of is it next month yet? In the middle of April, I'll be going to Austin to see it and to see my old friend David.
Are you really going to watch it, or are you going to have a much better time just hanging out while the movie's playing?
Well, it's a double feature, so I am going to watch the thing, and then while the second movie is playing, a Bruce Lee movie with Bruce Lee in attendance. For that one, I'll go out
virtually.
Hang out with David in the lobby during that time.
Was this a draft house or something?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Try to tell Dave, hey, there's a draft house 20 minutes from my house, man. Y'all couldn't make a fucking, you know, a Dallas pit stop? I guess not. I guess Austin's cooler than Dallas.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess you gotta like pander to the market of people who would go, and since Austin's like that was the first draft house thing or whatever, but I think with Frightmare and all the horror people in Dallas, I think you could probably do just as well there. But I don't know.
Me neither.
Joe, God damn it. Trey Moore's 5, Bloodlines. We're on the 5th one now, and you remember the last one? It was old-timey.
Well, I remember the old-timey one followed on the heels of the series.
Yes.
Then you said there was like a steampunk.
No, I didn't. I think that was just wishful thinking on your part.
Okay, well, I guess that's what I thought the old-timey one was.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not steampunk. It's like Old West, maybe, but I don't even know if it's Old West, man. Maybe 18-something, like minor times. Okay. Is that Old West?
Eh, they kind of intersect a little.
But this one is present day when it was shot. I think 2015-ish, somewhere around there, sounds right. And this time, old Bert Gummer's going to Africa because they said, you know what? We're tired of being called fucking racist, and we got to get some black people in this movie. So let's be like Ernest and go to Africa. So they do. And old Jamie Kennedy shows up, fucking super badass, riding a dirt bike and doing tricks and shit. And it's totally him because he's wearing a helmet. So it's, you know, old Bert and Jamie Kennedy fighting Trey Moore's in Africa. Only this time, they look meaner and more ferocious looking. Like there's a Trey Moore. It has a lot more spikes on it, and a lot like bone colored looking spikes. Like it's Trey Moore's or Graboids and Ass Blasters, and they both look meaner. Like the Ass Blasters don't look as goofy as they did, like weird pterodactyl looking dodo bird things. Now I've never actually seen the Dune movies. I just know what those fuck buckets look like. So it's like that circular toothy thing on the front of the Ass Blaster with kind of a predator mouth type thing. So, I mean, they do look scarier or more intimidating or whatever, but it's like more of a modern movie, and there's a lot more blood in it. There's been more gore, like human gore, and the other ones you still got like the Trey Moore guts and shit flying all over. But yeah, this is probably the best one so far. I don't like Jamie Kennedy, and I was dreading watching these fucking things, but he's fine, I guess. His hair's like all fucking poofed out, weird, like that fucking Jesse Camp guy from MTV. You remember that dickhead?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, his hair's like that. Maybe it's trying to cover up a bald spot. I don't know. It's just a weird fucking decision to make. It's like, why the fuck are those hair like that?
That's the humidity. But, Dan, you see.
It's that South African humidity. All the dust. No puppets. Like the snake things that come out of the Tremor's mouth, they can detach now. So I guess that's new. It would probably fucking like cause some kind of bleeding and cause the Tremors to choke on their own blood if these organisms that are part of them just like ripped out. I guess it's like, hey, let me rip my vocal, or hey, let me rip my tongue out. You know, you'd probably choke on the blood.
Yeah.
But they don't. But, you know, all the CGI aside, it was all right. You know, Burt Gummer's the heart and soul of these fucking movies, and he's good in it. He gets a little more to do, and yeah, it was all right. It was a little better than average, Joe. You know, Bert Gummer drinks some piss and rubs some piss all over himself and then gets pissed on by a lion and some gets in his mouth, so he spits out a little lion piss. And that shit made me giggle, so It's, I mean, it's good. CGI aside, it would have been nice, like, if they had some fucking actual puppets in there. I would have been like, yeah, this was good. This was good, good. But yeah, it was all right. Better than the other ones, for sure. I can't wait to watch the next one. But yeah, I'm not dreading it. So, yeah, Trey Moore's 5, Hellraiser Bloodlines in Space. Check it out. It's all right.
How many more of these are there?
2.
2, okay.
Spoiler alert, old Bert dies in the last one.
Oh.
He dies of a broken heart. Because his gun jammed. His Made in America gun. And he says, oh, I've lost faith in my country. And then he shoots himself in the fucking head. Oh, Biden got elected again. And then he offs himself.
A lot of that going.
I swear, if Biden wins, I'm going back to Africa. Like, I'll watch this show, House Hunters, with my mom, not all the time, but, you know, I spend some time with her, and she likes watching that shit, and there's, like, an international version, and I see, like, all these fucking goofy white people, you know, the kind of goofy white people who says, oh, if Trump gets elected, I'm moving out of the country, and these fuckers actually did it, and they look exactly like you think they would. They call them expats. I call them traitors, but they call them expats. People are fucking dumb. Shit's fucked everywhere. Just try and be happy. I guess that's what they're trying to do, but they're so goddamn dumb. They think they have to spend all this money and go to fucking Uganda or wherever the hell they're going.
Relocate some place where you're not wanted.
Yeah, no shit, right? You're the butt of the joke.
Right. Fucking pricks. Tom, I watched a movie called Housewife. This starts out with a two little girls.
I'm sorry, did you say housewife or hot wife?
Housewife.
Oh, okay, I thought this was a different kind of movie.
No, we can't get those in Texas anymore.
Yeah, fucking Joe. Oh, the great state of Texas. I'll suck the cock of anything that's Texas. Yeah, you can't even whack off now. All these motherfuckers giving up whacking off for Lent. And then they fucking fight. Oh, it's Easter. I'm going to go to Pornhub and whack off. Shout out to Opera. It has a built-in VPN. So if you don't mind giving the Chinese the kind of the information of the kind of pornography you like to whack off to, just go to Opera. I don't have that shit because Opera is a fucking browser for fucking idiots. But I did see somebody post that on the internet and I thought, God damn, that's the saddest shit I've ever seen posted. Shout out to Reddit.
So Housewife, Tom, this begins with two sisters and one of them's drawing a picture of like house and looks like the house looks real ominous. You know, it's a kid's drawing and there's like tentacles coming from the sky and there's a bunch of people around the house. But anyway, her older sister has her period, you know, and so the mom freaks out. It's like, oh no, you know, we got to hide you. We got to hide you. And the mom takes the sister and drowns her in the fucking toilet, you know, kills her. She's about to kill the younger sister when the dad walks in and she kills the dad instead. The dad somehow stops her or some shit. I don't know. But anyway, that's what we call a prelude. Okay, because then they show, oh, there's the name of the film, Housewife. We're going to fast forward, you know, now she's 20-something. She's like a housewife or some kind of artist guy. and this chick shows up that I guess they both used to sleep with together. They would have the menage a trois together. And she says, hey, you got to come. We got to go see the, we got to go see this speaker. And he's part of this, it's a fucking cult is what it is. They call him the family or whatever. This guy, he can surf between your dreams, Tom. He can open up things that are hidden. And I guess this lady has hidden those traumatic events that she had as a child. But she goes, that guy signals her out and awakens her, I don't know, her trauma, whatever. And like, and the movie is kind of done in dream logic, Tom. You know what that means?
Doesn't have to make sense.
Doesn't have to make sense. The fucking director can just like reset shit whenever he wants, you know.
What the fuck he wants to do?
Was that a dream? I don't know. Is it, you know, oh, you know, and then I don't know. There's cultists all around the house, and then there's some tentacles coming from the sky. You know, the old ones are there, and this movie's fucking weird. You know, it's like, you know, I dig this shit sometimes, but this one just like, it's just resetting and resetting, and nobody there. I mean, this movie's in English, but nobody in it, I think English is their first language, you know, because they have some oddball accents going throughout. You know, it's got some cool shit in it, but then it's balanced so evenly with the shit that's just fucking stupid. And so I looked, you know, like, what the fuck? You know, has this guy done anything else? Yes, he has, Tom. A couple of years ago, there was a little movie that horror fans were just raving about, and it was called Baskin. And I watched that movie, and that movie sucked.
The fucking big-headed midget Elmer Fudd fucking idiot-looking prick.
That's the one, yeah.
I have a key.
That's the sound of opening a lock with a key, you see.
So this was like a lot of that, you know, just trying to be stylish and trying to show you like, oh, look at this cool shit that we set up here. And like, all right, is there any kind of story going on here? Nope, not really.
Fuck no, you. Just look at this Humphrey Bogart midget face looking fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, these guys are singing a song in a van. All right. So that's this too. This, it has, like I said, some stuff that's cool, but ultimately you just don't give a shit. You know, it's just like, why are they letting this guy keep making movies? Because, I don't know, the horror crowd needs something. But they didn't cheer this one on. I didn't see anybody talking this one like they did Baskin. You know, but you figured if they'd liked Baskin much, they would have watched this too, right?
Nah. They probably don't know him because they probably don't know it's out because he's a foreigner and his name sounds like a fucking sneeze. So it's not like they're following the dude to see what comes out.
That's they get. I guess they should have put that on the poster from the fuck that brought you Baskin. You know, that would
I fucking hate that movie, dude.
It sucked. It fucking sucked. And people were just sucking its dick. And it was nothing. It was short. I'll give it that. At least it was short. You know, but
it's like, oh, this bitch, I gotta go into this warehouse and there's all this stupid Silent Hill shit. And then I go deeper and now we're in hell and Elmer Fudd midget face has a key in his head. Mm. Fuck them.
Yeah. So if you hated that movie, you would definitely hate this one. You know, it's not something I would ever want to watch again. It's not something I can really recommend to anybody.
It sounds like one of these fucking idiot characters would be wearing a Miskatonic U shirt.
I was waiting for it the whole time, but no, they never did. They never did. But it wears that influence all over it. You know, it just doesn't. You know. The CGI tentacles from the sky, they look all right for CGI tentacles, you know, but by then you just don't give a fuck, you know? Because, oh, wait a minute, he might just reset it here again and then. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The whole movie does not matter.
Suck it, dick. I haven't even seen the movie, but fuck you. You watch anything else?
That's it.
You did?
No.
Oh, shit. Well, I watched Rudy Ray Moore live at the Wetlands, or live at Wetlands, right? Live at Wetlands, NYC. And I guess this was a response to old Rudy seeing the original Kings of Comedy, their special and tour where it was Bernie Mac and Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer and D.L. Hughley. There was something in the book, which I should plug now before I forget. This is a fucking great book. It's probably only getting one printing. It's shout out to fucking Mark Jason Murray. Like, this has been Rudy Ray Moore's biographer for years and years and years and years. Like I said, I doubt this is getting a second printing, and they're fucking low as shit. So if you want one, I would get it. If you're a Rudy Ray Moore fan, like a lot of the information I pulled from here, or information he gave me on commentary tracks, it's fucking good. It says $35 on the back. I can't remember how much I paid. I put into the Kickstarter, so who fucking knows? But great book. Got a lot of information from it. Shout out again to Mark Jason Murray. And this was like a response to that shit. He's like, yeah, you know, you guys are good, but you're the new Kings of Comedy. Me, Red Fox, Leroy, and Skillet, we were the original Kings of Comedy. Forget about Pig Meat Martin and shit like that, even though they were before Rudy Ray Moore. But, yeah, he was disgusted that they had the audacity to call themselves the original. So he got a band together. Jimmy Lynch met him in New York a week before the show so they could fucking practice this show. Rudy Ray Moore got one more record deal. I think it was with Norton Records, and they were going to put some new stuff out. So this was like a last hurrah for his music career that really never was. So it was going to be him, you know, a concert, doing some comedy in between songs and shit. So old Jimmy Lynch, he went out there to help him because he was going to be like, I guess, the MC of the night and help him with the show and shit. So they practiced for a fucking week, and then showtime came and Rudy Ray Moore forgot everything, and he was sitting down on a stool most of the show. But, you know, not a lot or maybe any of my favorite songs were sang or performed, but, you know, it was nice to see. He does sing a fucking Angels on there, and that's a nice track. But that's on the Facebook page that was taken from this actual recording. So it's a live recording if you want to check it out. But I mean, it's nice. He does his comedy, and I think it's better than Rude, because this is actually like more raw. It was like in a club setting and a lot of standing room, like, you know, how modern clubs are where you see a band or whatever, and it's mostly standing room with a couple tables in the back or whatever, shit like that. A few times during the show, It was like set up like an old school show, which I've never fucking been to before, where it's like two shows, but it's really one. They play for like a half hour. All right, come back for my second show. And it's just them taking a break or whatever, and then do another half hour. So it's set up like that. And it's like, he'll just stop like, oh, my merch table. I got this shit you could buy over there. So he plugs that shit a bunch. Make sure he lets motherfuckers know they can go buy his shit and get an autograph and all that. But I mean, I like it. There was charm to it and shit. Again, it's a fucking old ass, sick ass man getting on stage and fucking singing and doing the fucking same routines he's been doing for years and shit. But it was cool. I enjoyed watching it. Yeah, it's, I mean, if you're a Rudy Ray Moore fan, it's worth checking out for sure. Speaking of checking out, Joe, I got a thing from this book I'm gonna read. And this is about Rudy Ray Moore dying. His final months, years weren't great. Diabetes, complications, all of that. He didn't really give a fuck about eating right. He loved going to the old 99-cent store and buying junk food and glitter and shit to make his stuff sparkle. So it got to a time where, you know, people were just taking advantage of him, Stan Lee style, but worse. Somehow he got mixed up with two drug addicts who convinced them to move out of his apartment. And they took all his money. They took his medication money and was just giving him water pills and bullshit pills. So it was just fucking him up. And eventually he had to go into an assisted living home, and he was just getting worse and worse and worse. And he was on like one of those motorized scooters because he couldn't get around anymore. And he didn't know that his scooter was set to fucking the fastest or whatever. So he was getting like from his chair trying to go to the bathroom, and he was on the fastest. He just crashed into the fucking wall and was laying on the floor for like 3 days with a broken leg until somebody found him. And then they put him in a retirement home, and his brain was just going and getting dementia and shit. He was like trying to eat and just missing his face because, like, shit, you'd live and get old, shit gets fucked up. And some of the people at the place knew who he was, so they let him put on shows for some of the patients. And, like, his brain was gone, so he thought he was doing, like, these real shows and shit. And it's just fucking horrible, you know? Life, you live long enough and not gonna be good. So all this terrible shit happened, and he just declined. And let me read a passage again from Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself by Mark Jason Murray. While listening to his final vocal album, Tom reading shit's always great.
Mm-hmm.
While listening to his final vocal album, Let Me Sing to You, Moore was hugging a stuffed dog and passed away peacefully with Rusty, his daughter, by his side at 6:17 p.m. on October 9th, 2008, just outside of Akron in Rittman, Ohio. Dolomite is officially out of here, he stated softly before expiring. That's how he went out. And Joe, we talked about it. We, you know, we said, yeah, probably. He's probably a gay guy. Mm-hmm. And Joe, he confessed that he was, in fact, a gay man. And he was kind of shameful about it. But in his last days, or last however long, in the twilight of his life, he felt bad about it, came out to his daughter about it. Like everybody, I guess, already knew. He said, nobody cared. It's the 2000s now. Blah, 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 blah. He went to church and tried to repent for his sins and did all that. So, yeah, I guess if I just would have read this book like a fucking nerd whenever I first got it, we could have put that shit to rest right there. But
Questions. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, we're doing it now and it doesn't change anything. Well, I think,
Rudy, I'm sorry you had to die in Ohio. That's all the bad things that happened on your way to passing. That's got to be the worst. And I didn't know that Rusty Cundiff was his daughter. So that's pretty cool that there's like a legacy going on there.
If only you could have got him in Tales from the Crypt 3.
Would have been great. Would have been great.
But yeah, before Rudy Ray Moore's death, Eddie Murphy was trying to get a Rudy Ray Moore biopic made, and he would meet with them and have writers listen to his stories and all that shit. I've heard from people who've hung out with Rudy Ray Moore that, you know, Eddie Murphy might have not have been the nicest guy to him. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Because, you know, that's what I was told by an older gentleman, older than you, Joe. Hmm. But I know, hard to believe. But, you know, Eddie Murphy, he was a fan and he's trying to get a Rudy Ray Moore biopic made for years and years and years and years. Until it happened in 2018. Maybe somewhere around there. And Netflix did it. So, yeah, they made a Rudy Ray Moore biopic called Dolomite Is My Name, starring Eddie Murphy. Joe, have you seen this one?
I have. And, yeah, we've reviewed this before. I think we saw it when this first came out. And this was along the time when... I guess I was being more, using more verbiage and grammar when putting these little reviews together. So still have that. Don't know that I should write another one, but I still thought it was a good flick, you know? I mean, knowing what they did right, what they did wrong, did not diminish my enjoyment of it, you know? Good Brother with the Dream movie, along the lines of like Hustle and Flow or
Joe. It's funny you say that because the gentle fellow that directed Dolomite Is My Name directed Hustle and Flow.
Ah, how about that? And what was the other one? Oh shit! So Tom is gone now, and it's just me. Me, I've taken over the program. yeah, I don't know. His computer fucks up a lot. And sometimes he'll be gone for quite a while. Other times he'll be right back like he is now.
We can edit it.
Yeah, so there was another one.
So let's just go back for a second. Joe, would you believe that the gentle fellow that directed Hustle and Flow directed Dolomite Is My Name?
What? Huh. That makes a lot of sense now. But you know, I bet you that guy watched the Mario Van Peebles, not Mario, Melvin Van Peebles biopic.
It is.
Because this movie is a lot like that one. I think that movie is the superior of the two, but I still like this one a lot. It, you know, it's a feel-good flick.
Yeah. You know?
You're just, you know, rooting for a guy to succeed at chasing his dreams, you know, and as two people here that do that on a daily basis, it's cool to see somebody actually succeed at it, you know, even though he ended up dying in Ohio. You know, at least he lived his dream for a little while, you know. All I can say is I am not going to die in Ohio.
Like all biopics, Hollywood biopics, take the shit with a grain of salt. Like the movie they're making is an amalgam of Dolomite and the Human Tornado. So don't go in thinking they're making this, I don't buy Eddie Murphy as Rudy Ray Moore at all.
He sounds a lot more like Eddie Murphy than Rudy Ray Moore. You know, he's got that Eddie Murphy lilt to his voice, you know, instead of doing an impersonation, which that was one thing that Eddie Murphy was for, was his impersonations. And I'm not going to try to pull this off this time. You're just going to use your own voice. All right. I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't want to say he played him like a simpleton, but there was kind of a weird, like maybe naivete.
Yeah.
To him. I don't know. I just didn't buy him as Rudy Ray Moore at all. But that being said, I still like the movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much better it would be if it'd probably be better if I bought his ass as Rudy Ray Moore. Like the fucking lady who plays Queen Bee looks nothing like her. But she tries to fucking talk like her and shit. And, you know, I can kind of, all right. But, yeah, Mike Epps is Jimmy Lynch. He was all right. Maybe they should have put an afro on the fucking guy. That probably would have helped. That was nice. They gave Ben Taylor such a big part. I mean, it's an iconic song for fucking sure. But I think he was in the movie probably a little more than he was actually taking part of the fucking story and movie. Wesley Snipes is Derville Martin. I think he was, you know, still stuck in Tu Wong Fu territory. You know, haven't seen a few movies Derville Martin was in. But I don't know.
I liked him for that, even though, yeah, he's not that person, but I liked his character in the movie because he's playing a character. He doesn't seem to be playing a person, you know? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does for sure. And I mean, they're like, I can't say you always hear because not too many people get into Rudy Ray Moore, but you know, the big thing Derville Martin was do was drink on set because he didn't give a fuck. They do that in this movie. And they mentioned Fred Williamson a few times. So it's like, all right.
They do. Yeah.
It's just, you know, like you said, it's a feel good movie and it'll fucking get you. Like, yeah. Like at the end, he's talking to this fucking kid, just like, yeah, kid, do your fucking shit, man. Don't think about how life's going to fuck you when you're older and you're going to be a miserable shit. Just go out there and do your shit, baby boy. Like it's a feel good movie. And, you know, it's called Dolomite. There's shit that the Dunbar, you know, I could buy that as the Dunbar. I don't know if they actually shot there or recreated it or found something, but it looked like the Dunbar. That fucking Key and Peele guy, whichever the fuck one it is, playing Jerry Jones, like they kind of made him just like a straight up cornball. And I guess if you just seen the movies, you would think like Jerry Jones is more the straight-laced fucking, you know, brains or whatever you want to say. But he was like a fucking street dude in gangs and shit. He wasn't some old fucking pussy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So sure, he was doing the theater shit after and all that, but they just made him like, oh, shucks, and not really. So there's some stuff, you know, you gotta look past and do that. Hey, you were talking about it. Got Ring-a-la-Ding-Dong in there. So that was nice to hear.
There's like some throwaway lines like, yeah, you're right. We'll do the devil in another movie. That, you know, if you know all the Rudy Ray Moore stuff, hey, he did do that in another movie, you know?
But that was probably just bullshit made up for the movie, just for the fans.
No, yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, it is a biopic, you know, it's not all factual. It's you know, it's telling the story in the limited amount of time that they have. And it's a solid flick, man. It's something, you know, that I'll probably watch again at some point too. You know, it's like, you know, I can just put it on and just, you know, watch it for 30 minutes and go do whatever the fuck I'm doing and then come back, you know, finish it later. I recommend it, you know, and I think it did its job and probably opened up Rudy Gay Moore to.
I don't know.
Hopefully he, you know, some people watch Dolomite after that, you know.
I mean, I was thinking about that shit. And, you know, I've been a fucking fan for a while. I don't know if super fan's the fucking word. That sounds kind of fucking. But, like, I dig the dude. Excuse me. I dig the dude's shit, and he's been a big inspiration on my life. Not just, like, the movies that I made, but just the attitude of fucking, man, just do your shit. Believe in yourself. The whole thank you for letting me be myself shit. Like, fucking, like, for real, I believe all that fucking shit, even though he was a closeted gay guy. But, I mean, just, you know, be you, man. Do your fucking shit and, you know, believe in yourself. Bet on yourself. All that kind of shit. Like, that fucking reached me for sure. Did it pan out? I don't fucking know. But I have been able to, like, fucking... Like, I think about this shit, like, all the goals I wanted to achieve. I mean, I've achieved. I can't say, like, fucking I became rich or, you know, but what does that matter if you achieved your goals or whatever? Like, Race War came out right at the end of video stores. Family Video, the last fucking video store out there, carried that shit. So, I mean, my fucking dream of having a movie I made in video stores, shit fucking happened. And that was part of that fucking dude saying, do your shit, shoot for the moon. If you miss, fucking cling on to a star, you bitch. And it fucking happened. So, it's good shit for sure. I just don't know if this reached the people. Like, you know, I was fucking pulling for people to be like, hell yeah, it's gonna get some eyes on Rudy Ray Moore, but I didn't really see much people talking about it. Like, with these past weeks talking about fucking Rudy Ray Moore, no one really gave a fuck. No one's like, oh yeah, I saw Dolomite Is My Name and watch this shit and it got me.
You know, it's, I think, like, Vinegar Syndrome had put a little more effort into the covers of they've, you know, the releases they made, maybe it would have got a little bit more of a pop for old.
They Rudy. Did. They made those before, but after Dolomite Is My Name, I have it. They came out with this box that you could put the fucking all four of the movies in if you already had them, or you could buy it with it. And it's better art. It's like the watercolor painted shit, but. I mean, I don't know if they even have the fucking license anymore, because on their last sale, they're just like, yeah, we're discounting this and getting rid of them. So I don't even think they're on. It might just be Xenon anymore. And we haven't heard Xenon doing shit in fucking years and years and years. So I don't know. You would think they'd do a 4K, but after watching some of this shit, it's like, oh, you don't want a 4K. And they never even picked up Dolomite Explosion. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's nice. It's fucking great that the biopic happened and it's out there. I just don't think it, unfortunately, did a whole lot to get a new generation into Rudy Ray Moore. This should just pimp out the fact that he's fucking gay. And just let a bunch of fucking gay dudes, as long as somebody's fucking, you know, touting the shit and getting the name out there, fuck it. Maybe he can get his third or fourth resurgence through that. But yeah, just soon, no one's going to know who the fuck this guy is. And it's a shame, because his movies were entertaining as shit. And I think these are some of the best movies that we've watched doing these fucking franchises or whatever the fuck you want to call them. So I wish this would have helped dude out better, but it's not like he's going to see shit from it. What, am I going to feel cool seeing a fucking guy wearing a Rudy Ray Moore shirt? Whatever. You got anything else you want to say about Rudy Ray Moore or this movie or the movies that we watched?
No, it's like definitely not the first time I've seen them, or the second time, or maybe the third time. You know, I've seen these movies several times, and aside from well, they tend to meld together to me. That's why I don't have a problem with the way the biopic is set up, you know, because all but Petey Wheatstraw, which is distinctive to me, that's the one that stands out because it's got a different kind of storyline, you know, and that's why
the horror element.
Right. That one always comes back to me, you know. It's got those badass bat costumes, you know, so yeah, and these are movies I'll watch again, you know, that I will come back to at some point. So, like, hey, I haven't watched this in a while. Let me throw that on, you know. And I was lucky enough to watch it, the first one, Dolomite, or was it Disco Goff? No, it was Dolomite, on the big screen, because they did that for Tuesday Night Trash one time, and it was filled with a theater of people that hadn't seen any of the Dolomite movies. And, you know, I was just wondering, how is this, some of this shit going to play with these modern audiences, you know, but, you know, nobody got offended, or I thought they would. Everybody just laughed and had a good time.
Yeah, because the people who are going to see that shit, you know, they're going to see that shit because that's what they're into. It's just the fucking loud minority of blue-haired fucking idiots on the internet. Those are the people you hear about, and they don't really matter because in real life, they don't say shit.
Yeah. I was glad to rewatch these. And the ones that I hadn't seen, like not so much Shaolin Dolomite, but Dolomite Explosion, I thought was pretty fun.
Yeah, I still love this shit. Petey Wheatstraw went down a little bit, but Dolomite went up a little bit. So, I mean, it's still at the same level. Evened out. Like you, I was lucky enough to see like an actual film print, not a Dolomite, but a Disco Godfather in the theater. So that was fucking sweet. It was Lori and I and like 9 other people. Fuck it, I don't give a shit. It could have just been us two and it would have been the dopest shit fucking ever. But yeah, shit's great. Inspirational. I mean, the dude just wanted to be famous. That's not something I'm really into. But, you know, fuck it. If that's what you're into, you fucking did it with a set group or a certain group of people. And, you know, back in your day, I'm sure you fucking owned the 70s when your shit was all into fucking theaters and shit. Not to sound like a fucking dildo, but shout out to ICP for putting him in their fucking movie. I didn't see that. I don't know if I ever would have known about that. I probably would have, because I still would have been into movies, and I remember seeing fucking trailers and shit, but I might not have connected the shit. But yeah, it's fucking good shit. If you haven't seen the 4 core Rudy Ray Moore movies, Dolomite, Human Tornado, which we didn't do a great job of reviewing, but that's one of my like all-time favorite movies, all genres. Like, we're doing top favorite movies of all time. Probably in my top fucking 5. The shit's fucking great, entertaining as hell. And then you got Petey Wheatstraw and Disco Godfather. As the time of this recording, they're all on Tubi. So just watch this shit. Get some fucking legal marijuana, alcohol, beer, if you're of legal drinking age. And just get some friends together and have a good fucking time, because they're entertaining as hell. Technically well-made movies?
Eh. But that adds to it. That adds to the fun.
So yeah, fucking, they're great. Rest in empowerment, king or queen. Joe, I hope you're going to hit us with some fucking dog shit, because it's been a while since we got into some dog shit.
I believe I have got just the thing. I haven't seen any of these movies, but we're going to be watching the work of Bill Milling. And we're going to start with 1987's Wolf Pack. Look out, Feld Dog. The Wolf Pack is out there.
Is this a football movie?
Yes. College football, yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to be following that up with Lauderdale. The week after that, it's Caged Fury. I believe Eric Estrada might be in that one.
I think I've seen that one.
And we're going to finish it up with Body Trouble. And these are, Caged Fury is on Tubi. All the other three are on YouTube.
Got it. All right. Yeah, I think Vinegar Syndrome put out Wolfpack a year or two ago.
I've never seen any of these, so looking forward to some fucking garbage.
And what made you pick these? Not that I fucking give a fuck what we watch or anything, but
I think a while back I was just reading a thing on, you know, like, I don't even know if this guy's considered an exploitation director, but it was like these oddball directors, you know, that just had like a career that never launched them into superstardom, but they worked. You know, they continuously worked. So just reading synopses on some of these, I thought, yeah, fucking, we'll give that a shot.
I can't wait.
Well, you got to.
Fuck. Let me ask you something there, Joe. You like anals?
No, I don't, Tom. But I'll tell you this. If you bring in John Byrne to do art on an anal, it's definitely going to improve the comic book.
With a slight asterisk. Dr. Octopus don't have fucking abs, dog. No. He's a fucking pudgy fat guy.
Right. So this is a Amazing Spider-Man anal. What number?
13.
Number was 12 or 13. Yeah. And, you know, written by Marv Wolfman, who writes the regular Spider-Man time. And John Byrne, who I guess was already doing X-Men and, you know, was making a bigger and bigger name for him there at Marvel. This is old Peter Parker's pulled in by some guy to help him capture some other guy that killed some other guy. A secret.
It's convoluted, to say the least. But that's okay, because they're going to M. Night Shyamalan you at the end.
Well, you know, and so while he's investigating, helping this one guy that just seems to pop up.
Excuse me, sorry. There's like a little blurb or something, like a little fucking bubble that says guaranteed to be the wildest fucking Spider-Man story you've ever read.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. There's also a blurb at the beginning. It's a, hey, we thought it'd be fun if we could bring in Stan Lee to write one page of this comic. Can you guess what page it is? No.
You're not going to tell you.
Yeah, so while Spider-Man's helping this guy find this other guy that killed the other guy, you know, we run afoul of in shape Dr. Octopus. And, you know, it's your basic thing. There's some action scenes here or there, but Octopus gets hurt this time. He gets one of his little octopus legs pulled off by Spider-Man's. And, oh, shit, he's got some kind of neural connection to the fucking octopus leg. So he's in all kinds of pain and shit, man. That shit ain't good. Anyway, you know, Spider-Man.
He's probably fucking half retarded, too, if it's hooked up to his brain.
So Spider-Man's captured the guy that killed the other guy that the other guy hired or is helping Spider-Man find or something. I don't know. But, you know, that story's over, but it's not over. Peter Parker's got to find out, you know, the guy that's killed at the beginning, they were saying he committed suicide. And that sucked for his wife because she wasn't going to get any insurance money. And that's why Peter Parker or Spider-Man's went along with this to help, you know, clear that guy's name of being a suicidal loser coward and just being a murdered guy, you know.
So she could get the money.
Right. So he goes to the house and, you know, she goes, yeah, you know, here's a picture of my dead husband now. It's the guy that sent Spider-Man's to go and capture the other guy.
You mean he was dead the whole time?
It was a ghost's.
But we done got Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Oh, I better not think about this. And Spider-Man's walks off into the sunset. Now, Tom, I followed this up with spectacular.
That's what you do.
Spider-Man's anal number one. And in this one, Spider-Man goes to the site where he fought Dr. Octopus and finds his leg, you see. He finds his detached mechanical octopus leg and takes it back to Empire State University. I don't know what the fuck he was doing, trying to do some research on it, but it comes alive, you know, and wiggles its way out of there after fucking up that whole laboratory. And so he's
still has brain meat on it.
Yeah. And built Dr. Doom. Dr. Octopus is in his secret laboratory. You know, he's got money, I guess. You know, he's got a bunch of henchmen. And he's got this huge ass lab and he's pissed. He needs.
That's what he does. He goes, Dr. Octopus, he's a smart guy, but he isn't the smartest guy because he goes and steals money instead of stealing the shit he needs. He's just like, oh, I'm not that bad of a criminal. I'm going to pay for the stuff I need. I just need to steal the money. Just steal the fucking stuff you need.
So Spider-Man follows the leg. You know, and leads him to Dr. Octopus on this boat, you know, over in the fucking East River or whatever river that is. And it's a big old fucking fight. It's this issue is a huge, just, you know, beat 'em up type story. And Dr. Octopus, he's got some new tricks. He's got special glasses that the web won't adhere to. And he shoots an ink out of his tentacles, you know, like a black ink like octopuses do, you know.
It only took fucking 20 years.
Yeah. And he put some like slick oil on the walls that Spider-Man's couldn't adhere to, and kick Spider-Man's ass. And one of the hey, you want I should shoot him, Doc? No, I'm just gonna throw him in the river and we're gonna sail away so he can die. So once again, Spider-Man's most dreaded enemy, water, is involved, you know, and he's drowning, but the Coast Guard, no, the Navy Coast Guard, one of those guys, they come around, they fish him out of the water. He takes off to fight Dr. Octopus again, who has a nice submarine with him, and he's trying to hijack this other nuclear-powered submarine from the Navy. So this is what it's been all about, and they fight some more. The sub that he was in is sinking, and his leg that's now reattached gets caught in a thing, and he's pulled down and he drowns. And this is the last we'll ever see of Dr. Octopus, because he obviously drowned here. A two-parter anal explosion.
I'm just glad Spider-Man was chosen to survive that explosion, Joe.
These were okay, you know.
The art was good. I mean, yeah. Besides, it's just, you know, It's fucking nerd ass shit to say has been this six pack, but the character model looks fucking off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's fucking weird looking.
Yeah, he looks even worse in the Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man annual. It's just like odd. Yeah. But they drew him like that for a while, for like a couple of years, and then they finally somebody wised up and said, nah, we're making him fat again.
Fucking Marvel method. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
You like Joe's and not Jose's?
Sometimes, Tom. Sometimes, you know. If we're talking about myself, no, I really don't like myself sometimes, you know.
Then who does?
Nobody. Nobody.
Anyway. We were all sitting at dinner one time when old Red came into town. And Corey, you know, he was just being mischievous, Corey. And he said, hey, Red, you listen to the podcast. Who do you like better, Joe or Tom? And he looks at me and goes, oh, I don't want to say. And I said, you already fucking did. Get out of here. Fucking prick. So he loves you. He's the kind of man who will tell another man he loves them.
Thank you. So Tom selected this week we would do our top five Joes. And at number five, I have Glass Joe. The ones, only ones I could beat on Mike Tyson's punch out. I think I could beat him, maybe the two guys after him, and that's it. I was never really good at that fucking game.
Because it's all just, oh, no, maneuvering. You have to do this specific thing because, yeah.
Yeah, hit him in the belly when he's, you know, yeah.
What the fuck does that say? Oh, shit. Wait, no. No, I already wrote. Okay, Joe, I don't know where he came from or where he went. But Cotton Eye Joe was a hit. You remember that one?
Ew.
How did that go?
Where did it come from? Where did it go? Where did it come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
Where did it come from? Where did it go? Where did it come from? Cotton Eye Joe. Where did it come from? Cotton Eye Joe. Fucking hillbilly white pieces of shit.
Sons of bitches.
God damn, people were on drugs to make that shit a fucking hit.
A fucking ham. That's the main course on Easter. What the fuck is wrong with white people?
Everything. They make me sick.
At number four, this is an organization, not just a person. And this is G.I. Joe. Fuck yeah. The elite fighting forces of the United States of America.
I never got into that shit, but the people who are into that shit are into that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Like, I always thought those figures were whack. They made Mortal Kombat ones from the G.I. Joe lines with those rubber band waists and shit. Man, I bought them, but I couldn't get into that shit. Hey, my number five, what?
At least you got your money.
Yeah, they did, you fucking pricks. My number four, fake ass WAP. Piece of shit. Joe, fix it. Take that stupid fucking hat off. Oh, man, if you ever wanted to see the Hulk shoot a Tommy gun, go read those fucking three or four issues, whatever the fuck they were.
Tom, at number three, it's another Joe. Of course, you probably know him as Gray Hulk, but there was a time when he was working Vegas, you see, and he was known as Joe Fix It. if you ever want to see the Hulk wearing a tie, you know, and his shirt's all ripped off, but he's still got a hat on, this is the comic for you. I think I have a Joe Fixit Bowen bust somewhere. He's got like a dollar bill signed medallion.
That's because he was signed to Cash Money Records at the time. Speaking of Cash Money Records, Joe, my number three is Joe Black from A La Zulu. He's a fine gentleman. Yeah, I was going to say something about, hey, he gave me this and it was real nice of him, but I won't. And it's not AIDS and it's not his dick. He gave me the gift of friendship.
At number two, also from the world of comic books, but this time, mate, they're from across the pond. Yes, I'm talking about Joe Dredd. He's a judge, you see.
Well, my number two, Joe, is also a friend. Some might call him an aholic. Some might call him a chocoholic. Me, I'd call him a drug addict. And that's Horrorholic Joe. Good dude.
Yes, he is.
Didn't make your list, though.
He did not, but he got a shout out
last year. You're a piece of shit.
At number one, Tom, and I just happened to finish a book this morning by this gentleman, and that's Mr. Joe R. Lansdale. You know, I've read a lot of shit by this guy, and he writes a lot of stuff, so I'll keep on reading a lot more stuff from him. Sunset and Sawdust takes a little while to get rolling, but once it does, it's a bad mamma jamma. So, join next week,
I guess. I gotta do mine.
Yeah.
And unlike fucking Joe over here, I'm not a complete piece of shit and gonna put my friend at fucking number five like a fucking asshole. So my number one is this cocksucker, Joe Garcia, even though his fucking name's Jose-Manuel. Yeah, I don't know why he's a race trader and thinks he has to change his name, but he did.
It's the only way.
Fucking prick. But that's cool. You know, he's like a much older brother to me. Some would call him a great grandfather figure. You got one for next week, Gramps.
Next week, join us as we'll be counting down our top five worst fandoms.
We did this, but we'll do it again because fuck them.
Fuck them, yeah.
Hey, everybody, give me a second. Whoop, that's not what I wanted. Keep giving me a second. Whoop. Fuck, DWN Productions.net. Masks, bus, props, custom work. You need something custom made? Hit me up, and maybe I can custom make it for you. Then head on over. Joe, you're here. You can do it.
Hey, go on over to fastcustomshirts.com. Peruse page after page after page of plenty of horror, sci-fi, exploitation t-shirts. And you know what? If you got a business, an organization, or something of the type, you can hit me up for custom work. And then don't forget these
two. Like that. If you need custom work, it's like that. We needed custom work, and we went to Fast Custom Shirts.
Yeah. And
I tried to cue it up right when you said custom work.
Unlike what it says there, it's not a pre-order. These will stay on the website in perpetuity as long as I live, which may not be much longer. I don't know, and I don't care. But anyway.
Thanks for fucking sticking around this long, if you did. Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Team Boy Gob. For sure. Everybody else should shout Team Boy Gob out, all you cheap fucks, and, you know, bow down to the motherfuckers who are paying for this shit. For real, we appreciate them for buying jerseys and shirts, but we don't expect you to buy shit. But what we do expect you guys to do is Boy Gob.